I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 22nd, 2024, as I enter day five without food. I want to react to the New Brunswick election for a moment. There's a lot of takes online. First off, the angry takes. People got to roll it back. You got to dial it back because you're just feeding your enemies. Whether you're on the right or you're on the left, this cursing and swearing and lobbing insults and saying, why is the eastern part of this country so retarded? Your words, not mine, fails to accomplish anything. Self-control is the strategy. Unmitigated emotional response never helped anybody. Secondly, the left wants to frame this election as being about Blaine Higgs and his government's gender policies, which it is not. I have some idea. There's a couple different theories and a couple different strains of thought that you can go down as to why the left is so obsessed with transitioning your kids and making sure that you can't do anything to stop it. But the election wasn't about that. Blaine Higgs was done. And it was clear he was done long before this election transpired. It's one of the reasons I didn't spend much time talking about it, because in my mind, it was a foregone conclusion. This was the guy who banned you from going to grocery stores. Now, it wasn't a strict mandate, but he said, hey, if a grocery store wants to stop you from coming in without a vaccine passport, they can do that. You don't get to touch your food anymore. They'll put it in boxes for you and deliver it outside. You don't get to touch your own food. That is the biggest disenfranchisement of your human rights that anybody could possibly imagine, that you need an intermediary between you and the food supply. Higgs did that. And just before COVID broke out, before the madness began, the government of New Brunswick wanted to mandate all vaccine schedules recommended by the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors that are in the tank for them, make them mandatory for you to attend public school and to do your duties as a government servant. And it only failed. Before COVID, it only failed because of three green abstentions. Or New Brunswick would have been the first province in Confederation to mandate all vaccines and deprive you of your choice and your human rights. So this was much more a referendum on those things, among other things. And Blaine himself was tired. He didn't fight very hard for his government. He wasn't a motivating figure. And you have to remember, too, when you fling these insults, that a large portion of the New Brunswick electorate still voted for him and his government in spite of the fact that they did all these horrible things to the people of New Brunswick. Now, they're going to learn a lesson. The Liberal Party is not, it's not an alternative. They're going to spend 4 years figuring that out. And that is, provincially, that's on them. But it doesn't change the picture in the country. People, for some reason, got super dejected by an outcome that was completely predictable and within the realm of anticipation. The BC election is the bellwether. It's the canary in the coal mine for the left. Rustad and the Conservatives are on the verge of power. Pending recounts and pending counting mail-in votes, even if they don't secure a minority or a majority, they are an incredibly new oppositional force to the paradigm. And we can rant and rave about Vancouver all we want, the people who vote there, particularly the Indigenous and the whites, who just seem to love voting for decline, I'm not really sure what that is, versus the immigrant communities who are voting against decline and want to restore Western civilization and prosperity. It's an interesting dynamic that's evolving and has been evolving since 2019. So there's, my take is, nothing unpredictable happened except the Conservatives are very strong in BC and a predictable outcome happened in New Brunswick. It's not a big deal. And now we move on. As I've talked about in the last two videos, we have to protect Saskatchewan. We got to get this done. We got to get the football over the finish line. Sorry, over the touchdown line. What is that line actually called in football? I'm drawing a blank on it right now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to the point. Now, the other thing I wanted to highlight in this video, because it's been asked of me time and time and time again, I receive requests to talk about this subject at least one more time, and I am probably not done with it because I never seem to be done with it, and that is the CPC versus the PPC. Now, how do I want to frame this? Where do I want to begin? I'm going to begin with the CPC. I think that's the best way to proceed. They are not the same as they were under Aaron O'Toole or Andrew Scheer, and I'm going to explain to you why the last several years and two leadership cycles have been very important and very beneficial in the long run to conservative politics in Canada. Scheer tried to run the middle. He had some bad advice, and he followed it. He's a good man, in my opinion. He's a good man in a bad position for his skill set. And we saw what happened. Then O'Toole came along and he said, you know what? We just didn't cater to the left enough. We weren't liberal enough, and so we're going to do it. And when they criticize us on our policies, our perfectly rational policies, we're going to change midstream. Mid-election cycle, we're going to have a change of policy. We're going to be weak. We're going to cater to the left. And guess what? They lost. If it wasn't for these two leadership cycles, the idea that you can't be tough in conservatism and win is completely discredited. So Polyev and his team came along and they said, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to go hard on several issues. And so one of the comments I received yesterday is on one of the videos is, what difference is there between the CPC and the Liberal Party? Well, there's ample difference. For one thing, since he's become leader, not during the leadership cycle, but since he's become leader, he has said the World Economic Forum will not be involved in government ministries. And we'll see where that goes. But that's been said since. He's also said that a common sense government believes that women's spaces and men's spaces should be segregated and that they should be protected from each other. The common sense says that women shouldn't have to face competition from men in sport. These are statements that have been made recently. Since he's become leader, he hasn't gone wishy-washy. When it comes to firearms ownership, he's been very clear about repealing the gun ban. He's been very clear and outspoken on the issue, whereas previous conservative leaders were very milquetoast on the subject and tried to avoid talking about it in public. The CPC has slapped its cards on the table and said, we back legal gun owners. And I would argue that that demonstration of strength has emboldened police services like the Toronto Police Association, I think I've got that right, who are tweeting constantly or posting on X constantly at the Liberal government saying that criminals haven't got the message when it comes to handgun bans. It is so absurd to see Trudeau trying to gaslight the public by saying, we banned handgun sales, we stopped the trade of handguns. You fool. There are very few legal handguns finding their way into criminal hands. It is all illegal guns brought across your porous border and then sold by criminal gangs that are often ethnic in origin, that are often new Canadians engaged in crime. That's the facts. And if you don't like it, if your head just exploded because you're a leftist, that's not my problem. That's called cognitive dissonance, and you need to get over it, because we cannot solve problems unless we can talk about those problems specifically. And it's long since past time in this country we had hard discussions about where crime's coming from, why it's here, and where the guns are coming from, as well as where the fentanyl's coming from, and why we're allowing it to happen at our borders. What has happened to our borders? They're virtually open to criminal cartels. The other area is getting tough when it comes to justice. Treating criminals and drug addicts like they should be treated with a dose of stigma. With a dose of discrimination, we should not be enabling these scumbags. We should be fixing them. If addiction is a mental health issue, if addiction is impacting those who are just trying to lawfully live their lives and navigate our streets in safety, if addiction is leading to a rise in violent crime, the compassionate thing to do is not hand people more drugs, as the Saskatchewan NDP and others would like to do. It's not to create more needle exchange programs and safe injection sites where people are immune to the law, giving them a vehicle and an avenue to continue their addiction. The compassionate thing to do would be to take them off the streets and put them into rehab something cost-effective, something cheap, but a forced dry-out facility for as long as it takes. We need to clean the streets, we need to make it safe for everybody else again, and we need to help them if they are truly in the midst of mental health crises. If addiction is, as these talking points often try to convey, they're not just victims of their own choices, but they're actually having mental health issues, then the compassionate thing to do would be to put them in a home, force them to dry out, and take care of them. This idea that we need to create decriminalization for hard drugs is absolutely absurd. When you live in a welfare state, when you already live in a socialist state, it's very simple. There's a libertarian argument that we should decriminalize everything and that somehow it'll magically work out. But in a socialist society, that doesn't work. So what we have is some laws on the books which we need to enforce for the sake of people who are just trying to live their lives. And we need to clean the streets up. And that means forcibly cleaning the streets up. Or it will just continue to get worse and worse. You will have more tent cities. You will have more homelessness. You will have more drug addicts stabbing people, threatening people, littering your streets. If these humans are truly lost, if they're already living on the street, then putting them into custody would be a mercy. So that's another area where the Conservative Party is quite different from its former iterations. Now, I could talk about more differences, but I think I'm going to talk about some of the sameness. When it comes to foreign policy, as I've been critical, as others have been critical, there is no calls in the Canadian House of Commons from any party to end the war in Ukraine, and our unmitigated support for Ukraine. Our own army is languishing in a lack of equipment. Our own army is languishing in inadequate housing. Our own army has staffing issues. As the army has become more and more woke, less and less people want to sign up for it, which is completely understandable. It's a ridiculous gong show. We need to take that money, we need to change some policies, and we need to rebuild our military instead of sending it over to Ukraine. And I'm right with you. But NATO is committed to supporting Ukraine. The current U.S. administration is committed to supporting Ukraine. This is going to change when Trump wins the election. And make no mistake, you can see the bad polls starting to move to the right to try and align and salvage their credibility so that they can propagandize you in the coming months and years after Trump wins the presidency. We had Atlas Intel come out, the most accurate pollster in the United States. They got Trump up by +3 in the popular vote. It's and the idea that they can steal something this big, it would be so obvious that the consequence would be massive civil disorder. So I think what you're going to see is a Trump presidency. When that happens, the United States, as leader of NATO, will shift its foreign policy objectives. And when that happens, the middle powers, of which Canada is one, I would say it's very low on the power ranking these days. We used to have much more clout 20, 30 years ago than we do now, thanks to Justin Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh and their disastrous government. The middle powers will change their foreign policy as well. In politics, and we're going to touch on immigration too, it's a game, and you have to convince the people to give you their vote. And how do you do that? Polyev is showing you not only is he eating the liberal lunch, he's also eating the lunch of the PPC, because the CPC has shifted very measurably. And honestly, if you're a PPC person, and for some reason you're blind to what the PPC actually is, and you still think it's a vehicle for truth and justice in the world, what you should be doing is celebrating the fact, if you believe you've had that kind of influence, you should be celebrating that the CPC has moved closer to common sense. But I don't see that happening. But before I get into that, let's talk about immigration. The Liberal Singh government is already starting the pivot on immigration. This is a necessity that the immigrant communities themselves recognize. If you keep dumping people into the country by the millions, the housing crisis, the homeless crisis will only be exacerbated. And we are not We are not meeting our economic objectives. Look, I know birth rates are low, and that one of the answers to that is to immigrate young people. But like I said, we're not doing that. We're bringing in more dependents than we are workers, so it doesn't work. And then we're bringing in coffee servers and strawberry pickers. That's not going to save the country, and that's not going to cure our demographic crisis, and that's not going to promote and reorganize Western civilization in advance of the next age of expansion if we can manage to survive this period of conflict that we're in right now, this age of conflict that we're in. Immigration reform is going to happen regardless of who is in Parliament. Not much is going to happen on that file beyond what the Liberals are doing now, which is at the moment trying to dial back the temporary foreign worker program and trying to dial back all the international students that are coming in and taking advantage of the system. Like, look, folks, the pivot's already happening. The Conservative Party, by talking about economic migration, is just, they don't have to go further because the pendulum is already swinging. The thing that you have to ask yourself is, who do you think is going to better manage the restructuring of immigration, Trudeau and Singh or the Poilievre CPC? For me, the choice is clear. So there's certain things, many things, that the Conservative Party is going hard on, and there's other things where they are not as hard as you would like them to be. Look, if you're an absolutist and you want everything your way all the time or you will not vote for anybody, we're going to get nowhere. You're just going to get more of the same. You have to look at the balance of factors, and then you have to make a choice. And the CPC is the right choice right now. They have to get their shot. And then there's this argument that they say one thing and they'll do another thing. That is out the window by what I said already about Scheer and O'Toole. That leadership proved that governing from the left only loses support. If Pierre gets elected and his government gets into office and they fail to implement the things that they're talking about, they only lose. The right can now govern from strength. And the people around Poilievre know that. So they deserve their shot. Now, let's talk about the PPC for a minute. People say in the comments, one of the things is that Poilievre and the Conservatives under O'Toole voted for Bill C-6 as though that is an automatic disqualifier. Now, that's involving trans nonsense. Now, the way politics works is that in every single party, there's a guy called the party whip. And when he pulls out his whip and you don't fall in line, you get kicked out of the party or you're forced to leave. Now, Bernier voted for C-16, which opened this doorway, and he was very proud and outspoken when he did it under Harper. And then later on, he recanted. Bernier loved China. He wanted a free trade deal with China. He wanted to sell off key industries in this country to Chinese money, most of it coming from the Communist Party. He was so pro-China when he was industry minister under Harper that he repulsed the rest of the CPC caucus. He was so balls out for China. And then, magically, not before the leadership run in 2017, and not even when he founded the PPC. The anti-China stuff came later because people like myself advised him that it was stupid and he was wrong when he did it. And he recanted and he said, I made a mistake. So C-16, China, various other things, Maxime just said, hey, I made a mistake. And he said it privately. He didn't even say it in public. The man's never admitted to making a mistake in his life in public. And PPC people forgave him and gave him a second chance. So if Maxime hadn't have quit the Conservative Party, he was not kicked out, he quit. As I've highlighted before, he released a chapter to a book that never existed. It was a political operation. The whole thing was subterfuge and deception and lies to create an atmosphere of conflict to justify him leaving. Actually, he wanted to justify Andrew Scheer kicking him out, but Scheer was smart and his advisors were shrewd, and they refused to kick Max out. They forced him to leave, which was Max's first mistake. There's so much subterfuge here that led to the creation of this thing known as the PPC, which has no people in it. There's no constitution. There's no bylaws. The members of the party have no say. They do these conferences once a year, which are a thinly veiled, disguised AGM for a corporation. It's obvious to anybody with a brain. You can see through what's happening. There's two ways to lead. Okay, I have no problem at all with authoritarian structures. That's what the business world is based on. That's what sole proprietors are. That's what people with employees are. That's what people who take the risk get the reward and get the responsibility. Like, they get responsibility, and for that, they're rewarded. In politics, you can be an authoritarian leader, or you can lead by compelling people with argument and by structure. Now, what Max has done is he pretends to be a leader of the people. He pretends to advocate for the people, but the people have no say in his corporate structure, none whatsoever. And he pretends. Now, the structure is authoritarian in nature, but he conceals it behind this myth that he's for the people. Yet he is scared of the people. The man doesn't have enough leadership, and his people don't have enough leadership. They don't have enough confidence in their leadership to believe that they can compel, through argument, their own membership to stay in line, which I think is, it's irrational. Because if you had good people who can make cohesive arguments, there is no problem keeping the masses in your party in line. But be honest about it. Don't try to be one and the other at the same time. Now, the PPC had a real shot coming out of 2017, because like I've said before, I thoroughly believe that the leadership race in 2017 was rigged against Bernier, because a lot of people in the CPC hated him. They shredded the ballots. There were 7,000 phantom ballots. There was all kinds of shady stuff that went on. And it's impossible to prove now. The Conservative Party said that they had their election audited by Deloitte. Never happened. Deloitte never audited the election results. So, I mean, it's gone. It's dead and buried and gone. But that was the casus belli for the PPC, the primary casus belli, which is justification for war. In 2019, the PPC ran a national campaign, which I was a part of. We ran in just about every single riding, and even though some of those ridings were paper candidates, it was an accomplishment to get it done. Now, the problem is there was no concentration of efforts where we could stand a chance to win. The primary place that should have been competed over was the Bows, that is Max's old riding, where he enjoyed 60% of the popular vote. He was a local hero. But instead of concentrating efforts, it was dispersed. Max went all over the country. He campaigned in every riding. The ridings were left on their own to fend for themselves. They had no money. It was unbeknownst to us, it was all going to pay Maxime and his staff, and there was nothing really left to help the candidates. It was quite shameful, actually. And in the end, he lost the Bows by a large margin because he didn't concentrate his forces. One of the rules of power is concentration of forces. His forces were dispersed and he lost. And that, to me, was the actual strategic end of the PPC. But it didn't stop there, because once the election was over, instead of building on the national momentum, everybody went on vacation. They said they retired, they said whatever, and they just took the winter off. And by the spring, I was gone, because it was obvious to me what was going on. My support had a limited window. My signature is on the founding document. And people that I know within conservative circles were very excited when Max left. They were invigorated. They're like, let's see where this goes. But bad decision after bad decision after bad decision lost us our best people and lost us the potential to gain support from the CPC. Because it was just bad judgment after bad judgment, bad performance after bad performance. And now what's left of the PPC is a bunch of reactionaries or people who don't know the history. So it's not going anywhere. And even if it could go somewhere, if it reorganized itself, it rebranded itself, it relaunched itself as an actual people's party with a constitution, it did all these things, it had a proper leadership cycle, and all of this wonderful stuff happened. As my screen shuts off, someday I'll fix that. If all of those things happen, in order for them to gain any traction with Canadian electorate, the Conservative Party must have a chance in power, a second chance, just like Bernier was given. You can't, and this is the part that fascinates me about the PPC crowd, is they are willing to cut Bernier unlimited blank checks for his come-to-God moment, whether it's the born-again Christian routine he did or any of the other stuff that he did on the election trail. Like, all of this, the contrived arrest. I mean, he walked into that rally knowing full well he was going to be arrested, and man, did it ever work out for him. Like, it was a public relations coup for the little tiny circle of people that he gathered around himself. If it were to reorganize, and if the Conservative Party completely fell on its face and failed, that would be the next available opportunity. But the country already knows the PPC. They already know the brand. They already know the leader. They already know, like, there's many people. I mean, I see the criticism all the time. It's like, years have gone by. Millions of dollars have gone through PPC hands. But the guy can still speak only broken English. His accent hasn't improved. He's still on vacation all the time. It's because he doesn't intend to win. It's because he doesn't intend to build anything. You're disappointed. And the whole way he's collecting a wage. And it's atrocious, it's terrible, it's abominable. It plays on people's hope to rake them for cash as much as they can just to keep the thing alive enough to have some sort of legitimacy. The fact is, the Conservative Party's ate your lunch, they're going to have their day, and they deserve a second chance, just like you. If Max hadn't quit the party, hadn't walked away, he'd probably be leading the Conservative Party today. That's an alternative timeline, and we'll never get to understand if it would have actually worked out, but that's my prediction. If he hadn't left, he would have been leader now and not Polyev. We probably wouldn't even have done the O'Toole thing, and we might have lost, and we might have had many years more of the Conservatives moving to the left to try and court those voters. Like, it might have been 26, 27, 28 before we figured out that weakness doesn't sell. Because if Bernier, who's hated by a lot of the establishment in this country, even though he was part of the establishment, if he had have failed to win an election against Trudeau, it would have set Conservative politics back. So everything worked out a certain way to create the conditions where the Conservative Party stands right now. I don't know how anybody can honestly give so many second chances to Bernier, but they can't even spare one for Polyev. They can't even see with their eyes how different this Conservative Party is from the last two iterations. The leader determines the shape of the party in this country. And it's not just the leader, it's the people who surround themselves around the leader. When a leader is selected in politics, whether it's Liberals, NDP, or Conservatives, it is the job of caucus, it's the job of the membership to rally around that leadership until it fails. And when Polyev, under O'Toole's leadership, supported the Freedom Convoy, came out against mandates and did all these things that the PPC just lies about. They say he supported mandates and he did all this stuff. It never happened. It's a myth that they promote to give themselves some semblance of viability. The PPC is over. I don't think you can salvage it. I mean, there's no mechanism to salvage it. You can't change trajectory. You can't change course. You're saddled with a leader and his board of directors, and that's all you get. And all the vaunted representation and standing up for freedom is subject to corporate approval. That's the PPC. It's a very expensive little junket, centered around the leader. So, I mean, you can, I guess, keep up believing your fantasies about who is who and what is what, and we can have all our myths, and you can keep posting on social media and seeing no growth whatsoever. There's no growth in engagement. There's no growth in the party. There's nothing happening with the PPC. They're down in the polls consistently, and it's not because every poll is fake. Some get it quite right. It's because the CPC has moved, and they've ate your lunch, and they're going to get their chance. And if they fail miserably, maybe there's room for something else after that. Maybe there's room for a new movement after that. But it's not going to be led by Maxime Bernier. The country already knows the man. They've already rejected the man. It wasn't just that he lost the Bose in 19. It was then he turned around and he ran in York, in Toronto, which lost him all the remaining respect he had with the people of the Bose. So the next time he ran there, he lost by an even greater margin. I think he was down to 18%. I could be wrong on that number. Maybe it was 24. but it certainly wasn't 60. He lost by a huge margin, and it's because he ran in York. They exercise abominable political judgment, and that includes their membership, who support the leader no matter what he does, no matter what he says, and they go online and they just scream vitriol. They call people names. They accuse me of mental illness and all these other things, say I'm driven by ego and narcissism and all this stuff that I have completely disproven. They say I pushed a COVID vaccine. When you can read in my comments the people thanking me for warning them about that product before it was even announced and released, I warned you. And that was the soundest advice of all the advice I've probably ever given. That was the soundest piece of advice I've ever given anybody. I've never met a single person who regretted not taking it, but I know personally a lot of people who regret taking it. We're dealing with health problems right now. It's tragic. It's tragic. And it's an unreported tragedy, and it's all around us. So they can cast aspersions, they can curse and swear, they can call everybody in Canada idiots. You idiots, vote for this. You idiots, vote for that. You're all a bunch of retards. You're not changing any minds with that track. Everybody's got to dial it back, whether you're a conservative or you're a PPCer or you're on the left. Dial it back. The one thing the left has always done better is linguistics. They're not, oftentimes they're not as sharp as they think. They lead with their heart, not their minds. They have toxic empathy. There's a crisis of toxic empathy on the left. They think that they should be compassionate and considerate to every little thing, even if it's a destructive force to their own causes. But they use language better. The right needs to learn a lesson from that. Start using language better. Start being calm. Stop emotionally reacting. The problem with X, and I'll finish on this, the problem with X is it. The algorithm seems to love outrage. It baits you. It wants you to engage. It wants you to insult. It wants you to engage in all this invective. And I am not immune to that draw. But the greatest men and the greatest women on earth have not shaped themselves and their personalities and their accomplishments by how many times they say yes, but by their single ability to say no, whether it's food deprivation, whether it's deciding to make the choice to not do drugs anymore, whether it's a choice to become fiscally disciplined and stop buying stupid things, whether it's a choice to resist the urge, type out that curse words and type out the anger, and then go back and edit that. Before you click send, rethink that. It's your ability to control yourself. It's your discipline. It's your ability to say no to stupid behavior. That's what makes great people, and that will underpin any great movement that is to spawn moving forward into the future. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.